Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
I want us to consider the Adam and Eve spirit. That Adam and Eve spirit is the spirit that collaborates with Satan to undermine God's wisdom and authority by rebelling against God's instructions with the sole aim of becoming what God has not made them. Adam and Eve's spirit is a collaboration with Satan. It undermines God's authority and God's wisdom. And the aim is to bring themselves to a position that God has not placed them. So God made a masterpiece. Everybody say masterpiece. God made a masterpiece. He made some kind of creation that was different from every other thing he created. God had created everything. Then one day God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fowl of the air, and over the fish of the sea, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. And he said, let them have dominion. So look at the words. Let them have dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So, God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And after God had created them like that, giving them everything. My Bible said that God made man so powerful and told man, I want you to rule over everything I've done. You have complete dominion over the fowl of the air. Complete dominion over the fish of the sea, complete dominion over the cattle. So God has made man in his own image, put him in charge of everything that man should control. This is God's masterpiece. He has never created anybody like this. He made him in his own image. He made him in his own image, created him in his own image. And then after God had created man in his own image, the Bible said, now God put man in the Garden of Eden. And after putting him in the Garden of Eden, he said, I am blessing you. So he created him, gave him dominion, and blessed him, and said, I bless you. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish of the sea, and over everything that moveth upon the face of the earth. I give you dominion. So you can imagine, God has created somebody in his own image. God has blessed the person. And God has given the person dominion. Now, so God has created a man in his own image. God has given the man dominion. And God has blessed the person on top. This is masterpiece. God has given him everything. You know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when you see people jump out and they are screaming, I have worked with my boss 20 years. He gave me nothing. You investigate it. Oh, my father has done nothing for me. Investigate it. My mother has done nothing for me. Investigate it. God himself was a victim of this ungrateful nature of man. One day Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, no man can do this except God be with him. Oh, and I worked with the person for 20 years. They didn't even give me my end of year's benefits. There are people that came into this world unemployed. And they still made something with their life. What are you talking about? So God now made man. And then gave him all these things. Then Lucifer was more subtle than every other creature in the garden. This Lucifer, modern translations will say, he was wiser and craftier than any other creature in the garden. Now, he had sinned against God. God had thrown him down. So, in his mind, everybody else must be thrown down. So, man was in the garden, and then God has now created man. And God said, man, I'm making you a worshiper. I'm making you have dominion. I have blessed you. And the devil said, eh. So God took my position and gave it to you, Adam. Then devil, Lucifer, found himself in the garden. Many of the people who are talking to you, they are envious of you. You see, you stand in a place they wish they were there. And sometimes when they are speaking to you, you think they are looking for your welfare. Now the devil comes into the garden, and the first thing he asks man is, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? I don't even know who went and told him, God had told them not to eat any fruit. You know these kind of people who snooze around, they just come around, they are sniffing around everything, and they ask you questions, you think they are in your bedroom, creeps into the garden. Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every fruit that is in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, then she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse number 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made them aprons. Verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam with his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Later on, God made the covering of sheepskin or animal skin and covered them. But after covering them, God now drove them out of the garden of Eden and put cherubim at the gate to guard it lest man should enter. And then eat of the tree of life, then they won't die again. When you look at this whole thing, you will realize that envy is not something that achieves its goal in a haphazard manner. You see, something that is haphazard is something that happens without plan. The envious people who come into your life, sometimes they target you for about 2 or 3 years. They then take a deliberate plan to approach you. The Bible said, number one, the devil or the serpent was more subtle when a plan is disguised in such a way that it is very difficult to detect. Lucifer could have come at an earthquake. He could have come like a wild wind. Adam would have known, what strange wind is this? What strange earthquake is this? So the devil came in the form of a serpent. And I believe that the serpent at that time was an animal Adam was used to. This is one of the animals in the garden. As a matter of fact, it is Adam who named that animal serpent, because he named all the animals. So Satan will come through something you have created and named. Your secretary, your driver, your security man, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter. Something you are familiar with. Something that is in the garden with you. You are used to it. You will never suspect it. You are thinking, this thing can never hurt me. This thing can never do me evil. He could come through your father, through your mother, through your boss. He can come through enemies because the thing is subtle. When you look at their faces, it doesn't match the evil that is in their heart. That is why many innocent victims are taken down. Because the thing is subtle. And the plan itself is very subtle. It looks like harmless. If the devil had come and said, Adam, you know what? We are going to go into spiritual warfare. You will suspect. But he just said, had God said you will not eat any fruit, then you are like, oh, this is just a fruit. He's just talking about fruit. The devil is not going to come to you and start talking about demons and principalities and powers. He may start with a chair. May the devil not put the illegality of envy in your spirit, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The devil is subtle. Very subtle. So he comes in disguise. Look at the pretense. Pretense. Has God said, listen, Adam, I want your welfare. That is why I'm telling you this. Eve, I like your welfare. They call it pretense. They come in as if they love you more than your boss. But remember, your boss gave you a job. They didn't give you a job. They will pretend. You see a pastor from outside who pretends to love you more than your own pastors. They are putting something inside your spirit. And they pretend. You know, Satan is now pretending to love Adam and Eve more than God. Somebody meets your wife and he's like, oh, so did your husband comment about your dress? Then he said, no. They say, wow, how can he see such a beauty without a comment? Tell him you are envious. If I have dressed and it's beautiful, and my husband did not comment, my husband doesn't have to comment about something that is his. I have never gotten up and look at my hands and say, oh, you are nice. Look at my nose and say, you are nice. Look at my head and say, you are nice. Because it belongs to me. Your husband doesn't know. The Bible says stolen waters are more sweet than legitimate waters. Ask that man whether he comments on the beauty of his own wife. And you tell me he's not married. If he knew beautiful things, he should have been married by now. Mind your own business. Pretend. Exaggeration is another thing in the scheme. Has God said, don't eat of the fruit? Eve now exaggerates the whole thing. God said, we should not eat it. We shouldn't even touch it. God really said, don't eat it. But he didn't say, don't touch it. God didn't say, don't touch it. Eve created that one. But God didn't say, don't touch it. So the devil is a chief in exaggerating. God said, don't even touch it. The thing about this envy spirit is that it can criticize. Criticism. It talks about things it shouldn't talk about. Did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see that? So Adam now comes and he's even criticizing God's authority. When he says, you will not surely die. For God knows that the day you eat the fruit, you'll be wise. What the devil is telling Eve is that God is lying. God is a liar. Don't believe him. But since when could God tell a lie? Don't believe him. He's a liar. That is not the reason. He's saying don't eat the fruit. God knows that the day you eat the fruit, you'll be like him. I'm not speaking because I'm better than everybody. I'm not speaking because I have more things to say than anybody. I am speaking because of grace. There is something called grace. There's something called election. There is something called God's mind. There is something called destiny. There is something every one of us is created for. When you are born for something, you are born for something. You see, I'm preaching right now, not because I like preaching, not just because I have something to say, but necessity is laid on me. I have a mandate. It is my destiny. I am born for this. I'm created for this. I'm anointed for this. This is the reason why I'm in the world. You must find out why you were born. In life, there is a place where you will be a security man and God will reward you more than somebody who is a CEO and the MD of a company. There is a place in life where you will be a backing voice. You don't have to be the leader to be fulfilled. Sometimes your fulfillment is in following. I pray that God will bring you to the place of total contentment where you are content with who God has made you and God has given you, and you don't want to be like another person. Come and clap your hands and scream it like your voice. Barosa. Criticism. At the appetite. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. 1 John 2:16, he said, now, the thing that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. All that is in the world. So the devil now comes to man, he said, and then Eve looked at the fruit and said, ah, it is pleasant to the eyes. It is good for food. It will make me wise. Appetite. I wrote in this book, I said, without appetite, envy is an impotent force. Without appetite, envy is an impotent force. In other words, if envy tries to come to you and you have no wrong appetite, envy will not land. It will not land. Without appetite, envy is an impotent force. But Adam and Eve had an appetite. The appetite is that they want to take something that was good for food. They needed something that was pleasant to the eyes. They needed a fruit that would make them wise. The final thing I want to say about that thing before I finish up is conspiracy. Everybody say conspiracy. Envious people don't work alone. They are always looking for somebody to carry. So Lucifer drew 1/3 of the angels. They fell with him. Everybody say 1/3 of the angels. Then there were 2 men on earth. 2 human beings. He came to the garden. Within minutes, he has captured not 1/3 of the human beings. 100%. Several years ago, I heard Dr. Mike Murdoch say something. I was a young pastor and a young leader. I didn't understand him at that time. But Dr. Mike Murdoch said, somebody is always talking to somebody you love. Somebody you seriously love. There is another person somewhere always feeding them with poison. I never believed it until I started growing up. They will not be too happy attacking you alone. They want somebody around you they can recruit. Even Jesus, they broke into his camp and got Judas Iscariot. Now God has thrown the devil down. Thrown 1/3 of the angels down. He has only Adam and Eve. Satan entered the garden. And within minutes, Adam and Eve were following Satan. God is left alone. Satan has 1/3 of the angels. On earth, the 2 people he created in his own image, they are following Satan. Adam and Eve, by the time he drove them out of the garden, God was alone in the garden. Adam and Eve have left. Conspiracy. At times, they didn't want to turn your own husband against you. Conspiracy. They always want to pull somebody. They want to take somebody and add to the team. The thing about this envy is that it is a folly, because most of the time, what people lose after you have been envious of them and attack them, what they lose, you will not get it. Now, Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden, but God didn't bring Lucifer to occupy the garden. What I'm saying is, you have been envious. They have sacked somebody from the person's work. Are they going to put you in that position? You are envious of a church. The church has collapsed. Are you going to start a church that will be better than that one? Somebody's business. You've gone to collapse it. Will you suddenly become a businessman? May God give us the loving heart, the committed heart, the simple heart, so that we will secure destiny. Somebody has his car. You are very envious. This car can never move. If the car stops moving, will you turn yourself into a car? You know what? You are fighting for something you may actually finally get, but after getting it, you cannot use it. In life, it is not what you get that is important. It is what you can get and use that is important. There is no point in getting the thing when you cannot use it. Naaman, the leper. Gehazi went and got the garments and the money, the clothing and everything from Naaman. But by the time he was leaving Elisha's presence, he had become a leper. And leper cannot wear those dresses. I pray for God's vengeance, God's spirit of judgment. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that your fear will come upon people, and your fear will come in this house, that as many envious people who want to destroy people's destiny, Lord God, even if they get it, may they never be able to use it in the name of Jesus. They will get the money, but they cannot spend it. They will get the house, they cannot stay in it. They will get the car, they cannot drive it. They will get a bicycle, they cannot ride it. They will get the woman, but that same night they'll be impotent and they can never sleep with a woman. They will snatch the man, but they cannot use it. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, let the God of vengeance and judgment arise and let them fight for the cause of the destinies of people. Because God, if you allow the envious people to destroy the destinies you have formed, people will say you are not God. So for your own sake, fight against the naysayers and the people who want to make gain out of our downfall. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, let God put fear in them. Let the terror of Almighty God come upon them. Stretch forth
forth your arrow, O God, and let them hit them in their heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, clap your hands and scream it like your voice is yours. Judas Iscariot. Judas got 30 pieces of silver. He couldn't use it. He had to go and throw them down. Listen, any fish which is jealous of lions walking on the ground or on earth, lions walking outside water, if you are a fish and you are envious of them, and you try to go and stay on the land, you will die. Because fishes are meant to be in water. You know what? Be happy with your bicycle until God himself moves you out. Be happy with your small car until God himself promotes you. Every motorbike has its own challenges. Every big car has its own challenges. It is when you start servicing a big car and buying fuel a big car that you will know. So you know what? You may get the thing, but you cannot use it. You know what you do? Learn to discern. This person looks nice, but what is behind him? Why is the person telling me what he's saying? Why are you saying this? What is your aim? They discern. The devil will tell you, you will surely not die. Denial, you will not die. You are drinking alcohol, but you won't die. Don't go to that church. It's not only that church that can save. You can be saved anywhere. It's a denial. You want to be discerning. Discern. Why is the person saying this? Who is he? Who sent him? Who sent this man? Is it the devil that sent him or God? This person dealing with me, is the person an agent of God or agent of the devil? Who sent the person? Who sent him? Discerning. You must learn to decode. Decoding information. Every information you are getting is coded information. You must learn to decode it. They call it discernment. Decoding. Then you must know boundary definition. Defining your boundaries. The devil crossed his boundary by coming into the Garden of Eden. And when he started questioning man about God's intentions, both the devil and Adam and Eve, they crossed God's boundaries. They were not supposed to go that far. You must learn it. Learn boundary definition. Boundary definition. You must also have discipline. Your taste. I eat this, I don't eat that. There must be something in you that can never let you be envious of somebody's husband or wife to take it. Because you see, you are disciplined and you cannot take somebody's husband or wife. It's a discipline. No matter how Satan tempts you, it cannot happen. You must come to a place in life as a man where you know that as a married man, you will never commit adultery. It's as simple as that. You will never do it. It's settled. No! To err is human. They will use eraser and erase you because you are error. May the Lord help you. If to err is human, to eraser will be human. They will delete you or cover you with Tippex. And you know what? When Lucifer was envious, God threw him out of heaven. Adam and Eve, they also misbehaved. God cursed them. Listen, envy goes with a curse. You don't encourage it. So from heaven, God threw Lucifer down. On earth, Adam and Eve misbehaved. God cast them out of the Garden of Eden. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. And yet he drove them out. You are saying, oh, because of the love of God, I cannot drive them away because of the love of God. Well, you have love, but God is love. And he still drove out Lucifer and drove out Adam and Eve. He didn't say, I will try and change them. Your biggest problem is you are trying to change envious people instead of driving them out. But God drove them out. Listen, if you have a different method for taking care of envy, the envious person will kill you. Any envious person you keep in your environment, eventually the person will kill you. Envious Cain. Envious Cain killed Abel. If everything is affordable and you don't know affordable things and avoidable things, oh, I can afford it. This is the affordable. This watch it. I can buy this one. Then the other one, he says, expensive. Yeah,
There are some things that are affordable, but you still have to avoid them. Am I talking to somebody at all? God drove Adam and Eve out. God drove them out of the Garden of Eden and hit them with a curse. Satan, you will crawl on your stomach. You will eat the dust of the earth. He said, you are cursed, and drove him out. He has destroyed everything in the garden, but he couldn't have the garden. He told Adam, Adam, I gave you the earth, but the earth is cursed for your sake, and drove him out. I refuse to share boundaries with an envious person. Abraham stood and looked at the land. He said, Lot, you know what? This is the land. The good part and the bad side. Choose. Lot chose the good side. Abraham said, my nephew, bye-bye. God be with you. That was it. Lift up your hand and pray. May God give you wisdom and courage.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com. Yeah.